This audio is machine generated. Please excuse any mispronunciations. Meekness, Strength Under Control by Jeremy Bacon. Once upon a time, so the legend goes, there was a man named Xenophon who loved horses. He loved horses so much that he wrote an entire treatise on horsemanship. This part is true. You could stop reading this and go buy it on Amazon right now. This little manual digs deep into the selection, training, and care of horses, including horses trained for war. Legend has it that when it came to war horses, Xenophon used the word meek to describe these dangerous beasts. Therefore, meek means power under control.
Anyone who has ever heard a sermon on blessed are the meek, Matthew 5:5, has heard that meek is not weak. This rhymes, which is satisfying. And meek can be powerful, but in a surprising way. Keep reading. Unfortunately, meek as essentially non-weak is based on a fairy tale. The legend simply isn't true.
Xenophon does use meek words, noun, adjective, adverb, a handful of times, but the only time he specifically calls a group of horses meek, and they aren't war horses. After being at the grind all day long, workhorses tend to congregate and just stand there sedately, or as Xenophon puts it, meekly. This is hardly the picture of restrained ferocity that the legend requires. In fact, Xenophon also refers to other animals as meek, like farm animals and fish. No hidden superhero vibes here.
Meekness has nothing to do with whether someone has power or not. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. It's concerned with something else. So what gave this legend legs? Put meekness and war horses in a search engine, and AI will weave this tale anew. It's everywhere. Why did we embrace meekness as power under control so enthusiastically, sources uncited?
Fear. We want meekness to mean power under control because we are terrified of being powerless. We believe there are things we cannot afford to lose and that it is up to us to protect them. These beliefs are, of course, both false and fundamentally unchristian. But rather than being honest about them so Jesus can deal with our fear, we'd rather hedge our bets. Sure, unrestrained brutality is unsavory, but we'd like to keep some restrained brutality in reserve just in case we need it. God may not show up, so we need to make sure we don't lose, and we need power. Yet there is paradox and deep irony in the nature of power. Webster defines power as influence or the ability to produce an effect. Most often, we view power as the ability to coerce someone into doing something they wouldn't otherwise do. We have power if we can impose our will on someone else. We could call this empire power. And empire power can look successful. It often produces an effect, but forcing our will on others makes them feel powerless. This increases alienation and hostility. They, in turn, search for a way to exert power over us. This increases the danger we are in, which ironically increases our fear. Empire power actually makes us feel less safe. That's why empires are compelled to accumulate power endlessly. Yet there is another way to exert influence or have an effect, one that isn't about coercing anyone to do anything. Kingdom power, as in the kingdom of God, is rooted in trust in God. It is motivated by love, not fear, and it is not about forcing, it is about giving. Kingdom power can transform others because when they see us empty ourselves for them in love, they realize that we are not a threat. Their fear diminishes and we can actually come together. It may sound pie in the sky, but kingdom power actually has better long-term results than empire power could ever dream of. Kingdom power involves approaching people entirely differently. We could characterize this approach as meekness. In fact, Xenophon does use meek words several times to describe how trainers approach their horses. Meek is not the horse. It's the horse whisperer. A horse is a flight animal. If you come at it hard, it's going to bolt. Instead, you have to be as slow and comforting as possible. As a friend who has worked with horses a bit told me, you have to be 100% gentle. Gentle is how we often translate meek, for instance, in the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. The few New Testament examples we have of people being gentle or meek are teachers, Galatians 6:1, 2 Timothy 2:25, and submissive wives, 1 Peter 3:1-44. And both are trying and succeeding to exert influence, but there is no element of coercion whatsoever. If power is simply influence, the New Testament holds out meekness as a radically different kind of power. However, not everyone who is meek is choosing it as a strategy. The poor people of the land in the Old Testament are occasionally described as meek, Psalm 76:9. That's not a decision they made. They couldn't exercise empire power if they wanted to. They had none. In the empire's eyes, they were most definitely weak. The defining characteristic of meekness is, in fact, that someone is not exercising empire power. They are not trying to control or dominate anyone. Jesus tells the powerless meek that they are a step ahead because they don't have that temptation. The irony is that for those who deliberately choose meekness, meekness is not weakness. Those who choose meekness are immovable because they have no fear. They are grounded in a reality that empire power can't touch. Their treasures are not in this world, and they trust that a loving God is watching out for them. Moreover, the worst possible consequence that they could die is, in fact, the greatest victory of all. Jesus is their meek example, Matthew 11:29, 21:5. A guy hanging on a cross isn't forcing anyone to do anything. Instead of exercising empire power to coerce others, he exercised kingdom power to give himself entirely. And that exercise of kingdom power is what brings healing to the world. If your gut check is to balk at any of this, if you want to respond, yeah, but just ask yourself, what are you afraid of? You are the skittish horse. Let the meek one approach you and begin to guide you. Only by bringing your fear to Jesus can you trade empire for kingdom and discover that the meek shall inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. For footnotes, see this article at renew.org.